So today is week two of our More series. More in that we're exploring how we can experience more of God's presence, particularly in the area of how we approach money. And now what we're doing over this More series, and it's a five-week series, I think I announced last week it was a four-week, I've changed my mind, we're going to have a five-week series, I'll explain that a bit later. But over this five-week series, what we're actually doing, along with exploring some real, biblical truths around how to approach money, how to manage your money, and all of those sort of things, we're also doing it with coinciding with what we're calling our More Giving. And what More Giving is about is that over the next 3 years, we're asking God to provide that which we think we need, which is $500,000, in order to do some really necessary enhancements around this facility, particularly in the area of ministry to children, and then also to reduce and eliminate our debt of $360,000, which will allow us in 3 years' time, if we are able to do that and God answers our prayer for that, it will allow us to multiply out into some all sorts of different ministry possibilities, which I'll be talking about over the coming weeks. So I said it was going to be a five-week series. Well, what I'm going to do is that on Sunday the 5th of March, which is that additional Sunday, is we're going to have a bit of a review. So there'll be a short review, but there's also going to be a Q&A time. And so I recognise that as we talk about these four different topics that we're talking about over these 4 weeks, it might raise some questions in you. Well, what about this? Or what about that? Or what does this part of the Bible say about that? Or so on. And so next week there'll be a question box. And if you've got any questions, you'll be able to put those questions into that question box. And then on week five, myself or one or two others will do our best to answer those questions. Now, to give you an idea of where we're going today, up on the screen behind me is a table that I showed last week, which gives us a bit of an overview of this whole series. So last Sunday, we explored how we can maximise our income, what the Bible says about lifting our level of income. Now, we don't do that selfishly so that we can have more money to spend on ourselves. We do that so that God can use us to bless others more. Now, we're also going to explore today, how do we overcome debt? So we're going to explore what the Bible says about reducing and eliminating debt. And interestingly, the Bible says quite a number of things about that and gives some really practical advice on it as well. Next Sunday, we're going to be talking about rainy day reserves and retirement planning, or in effect, savings and planning for the future. And so what does the Bible say about that? How do you juggle the element of faith, which is the unknown, with being, I guess, planned and wise and responsible, and how does all that come together? And then in week four, we're going to talk about enabling generosity, which is exploring what the Bible says and asks of us in terms of sowing generously into God's kingdom. But as I said, our focus today is on overcoming and eliminating debt. Now, as I speak today, I'm going to ask you to stick with me a bit, because I'm taking a bit of a circuitous route. Because what I'm sharing today actually allows us to answer this debt question that we're looking at, but it also sets up the next 2 weeks. So just sort of stick with me. We're going to get there to the debt thing, but I'm also setting up the next 2 weeks of talking about savings and generosity as well. So, as I've shared in previous weeks, we've brought into our home a little puppy who is now 5.5 months old, and I could say is growing up fast, except she's just really small. She's a tiny little dog. When we bought her, we weren't sure how big she was going to get, because mum was quite big, dad was really small. Well, she's like her dad. If anything, she's smaller than her dad somehow, and so she's a tiny little thing that we don't think is going to grow a whole lot bigger. Now, one of the things we've been doing for Chloe, our puppy, is training her to walk on the lead. One of the things you need to do is get the dog to walk on the lead nicely. And Chloe's getting okay at it. And for about 50% of the time, she's really good. And walking with her is a really pleasant affair. And she's just this tiny little thing, just trotting alongside you, and everything feels nice and wonderful. But then she sees something that looks interesting to her. Now, we've got kangaroos around our place, so she likes the look of a kangaroo. She wants to go and have a chat, or she likes birds, and believe it or not, she's interested in other animal feces, and there's plenty of them around. But whatever it is, she sees something interesting, and she forgets that she's on the lead, and she's off for about half a second to find that all of a sudden her neck's pulled around, and she's, what's going on? She gets a bit of a shock. She hasn't yet learnt that when she's on a lead for a walk, she doesn't quite have the freedom that she thinks she does. When she's in the backyard, she has freedom to go and roam wherever she likes. But when she's on a lead, she doesn't have it. But she hasn't yet realised it. And when it comes to debt, it's interesting to have a look at it and you think about it. And I observe some things. My grandparents' generation avoided debt like the plague. My parents' generation tried to pay it off as quickly as possible and used debt, but used it cautiously. Today's generation are seemingly more relaxed about debt. It's something that will pay off one day, a long time away. Now, what I want to do today in setting it up, I want to share two key passages of Scripture, both which come from Proverbs, which speaks to some of God's wisdom about debt. And they're going to be up on the screen behind me. The first one is from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. The borrower becomes the lender's slave. The borrower becomes the lender's slave. Now, I want you to think about that for a bit. What is this saying? If we go into debt, we're actually going into bondage, into slavery. We're going into a space where we're no longer in control, where our debt starts to control and consume us. It's like it has us by a collar and a lead. It's taking us places we don't necessarily want to go. Now, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5, another key passage of God's wisdom in this financial space is this. The plans of the diligent lead surely to advantage, but everyone who is hasty surely comes to poverty. Now, I think one of the reasons for people taking on too much debt today is impatience. You'll be well aware of advertisements on TV that scream at us, buy now and you can pay later. But this passage says that those who plan, i.e. those who save, are going to end up in a much healthier financial position. Now, I learned an important lesson on this when I was 21. I wanted to buy a new car. I thought I needed some help at the time and attracting the opposite sex. And I thought, a new car is going to do it for me, so I'm going to buy a nice, fancy new car. And I'd saved up some money and I realised the car I want. And I had about 75% saved up for that car, which was pretty good. But I wasn't prepared to wait any longer, so I borrowed the other 25% to be able to get the car of my dreams. Now, I paid the debt off to the bank in 12 months. I paid it off pretty quickly. It was a 3-year loan, but I paid above and beyond. I paid it off pretty quickly. And at the end of the 12 months, I had a look at it and I thought, how have I done here? And what I realized is that the value of the car had decreased 25%. And that if I'd waited just 12 months longer, I could have had the car of my dreams without even having to borrow or save any more than what I had. Now, what I want to do now is share some of my more recent story in this space of debt. Now, my parents were early adapters to credit card. I think it was, you know, that little bank card thing, you know, remember that? And I think they were one of the first in Australia to get one. They just got their credit cards very early days. And so they really loved the convenience that credit cards offered them. And my very earliest memories, I can remember my mum and dad paying for stuff on the bank card or the credit card or whatever it was. But interestingly, they were financially savvy and responsible people, and they were responsible in their use of these cards, and they never once paid any interest. They always paid the maximum amount owing so that they could avoid paying any interest when the payment was due. Now, at the age of 15, my mum and dad gave me a credit card that accessed their funds. Can you imagine doing that for a 15-year-old? Now, what they said to me is that you have a certain amount of money that you can spend on this credit card. And they set me a budget, and that was to buy my own clothes. And so they set me a budget. I had a certain amount for winter and a certain amount for summer, and they said, go out and buy your own clothes. Do not go over this budget. We will know, and there will be severe consequences, i.e. you will no longer have that card on you anymore. But in the meantime, if you want to go and do this, you get to buy your own clothes. You get absolute autonomy over what clothes you wear. Pretty good deal for a 15-year-old. And so they said, if you want to go and spend three-quarters of it on a jacket, that's fine. But when the money's gone, the money's gone. You can't do any more with it. When I look back, I thought, you know, this is actually pretty good parenting. It gave me a sense of independence and a sense of responsibility of having to plan and budget and work out all those things. I soon learned how to buy things when they're on special so you could maximise the money that Mum and Dad had allowed me to have through their credit card. So when Kate and I got married, we made the decision. We were going to use the credit card for all purchases, just the way I thought it was that we should operate, just the way my mum and dad had operated. And so for our entire married life, 14 years, because it was up until March of last year, we bought all our stuff on credit card and we always made the maximum repayment. We never paid interest on our credit card. So it's seemingly a really smart way to operate. I mean, it's not really debt, is it? It's just a way of managing your money. Now, just on 4 years ago, we needed to replace our car and we bought a new car via a lease. And again, I did all my research. I'm a person that does their research and I looked at it, and because of the way I get paid and because I've got some skills in that negotiation area, I was able to get such a good deal that effectively I paid no interest on these particular lease payments. My research indicated when I went into I realised that after the lease was completed at 3 years, we'd have a balloon payment to pay, and the balloon payment would be significantly less than the value of the car, and then over the time that we'd pay the car, according to my research, I would pay no interest. And effectively, this is what happened. My research was true, and it worked out that way. Again, seemingly a smart thing to do. But what happened in 2015, roughly halfway into the lease car and the way in which we're managing our credit card, and obviously we also have a home loan and paying a house off, we noticed something happening to us. The kids were getting older, obviously. The cost of educating them was increasing. The cost of feeding them and clothing, I mean, they weren't happy with, you know, hand-me-downs anymore or op-shop clothes or all that sort of, all of a sudden, more expenses, and then their sporting activities. Oh, my goodness, any parents here get overwhelmed a bit by the cost of sporting activities? And, you know, it just all started to add up. And increasingly, I'd become aware of two really key dates in our calendar each month. They were the 10th of each month and the 24th of each month. Now, the 24th of each month was when our credit card was due. That was when I had to pay off all of the previous month's expenses. The 10th of each month was the last day of our credit card month. That was the day in which the new month started. And so all too often I found myself saying to Kate, we can't spend any more money this month. To be able to make the maximum repayment to avoid interest, just can't spend any more money except just on food to feed us and bills that we have to pay, but nothing else. And the problem was that this conversation was happening 3.5 weeks before the 10th of each month. So even without paying any interest on our credit card, even with seemingly being smart around our lease car and our mortgage and all of that stuff, what had happened is that we'd started to get worried and stressed about our finances. It was like it had us by the collar and we weren't even fully aware of it. Now, around this time, I was recommended a book. Now, it's a secular book. It's a book by Scott Pape, who's the Barefoot Investor. You would be well familiar. I know many people here actually have read that book as well. It's a book that had a significant impact on my life. It's called The Barefoot Investor, The Only Money Guide You'll Ever Need by Scott Pape. I highly recommend it to you. It's simply the best book that I've ever read on personal finances. Now, interestingly, what I found as I read the book, and Kate read it with me, Pape's recommendations line up, which that's what we've heard earlier around these biblical financial principles that we find in Proverbs. They almost go hand in hand. Not completely, 100%, but very much they line up together. Now, both Pape and the Bible would say a few things, such as avoid debt and pay it down as quickly as possible. Don't live on credit cards, even if you're able to meet the monthly maximum repayment. Allocate your income to ensure that you live below your means. Not within your means, but below your means. Which allows you to meet all your obligations. It allows you to save for your future. It allows you to enjoy life now. So both Pape and the Bible tell us that debt is slavery and no debt is freedom. So as Kate and I reflected on both the biblical wisdom and the wisdom of Scott Pape, we agreed to make some changes. And so in March last year, our lease car came up, and so we paid it. We bought it and paid outright. We now own the car. But it meant we no longer had to make that monthly lease repayment. We also decided at this time that we would stop using our credit card. And instead, we organised through the bank some debit cards. They work exactly the same as credit cards. You're well familiar with how they work. But they take money in advance, but they take money out of what you actually have now. You can't go into credit with them. Now, it took us a couple of months to make this correction, if you like. We had to be really frugal at the time to try and get ourselves ahead of the game rather than behind the game in the way which we've been doing. And so just to explain how we did it, on the next slide, there's a table that gives you an idea of how, based on sort of Scott Pape's recommendations, not exactly, but the Bible and some of Scott Pape's recommendations, this is how we've decided to manage our money. Now, over here, I have five buckets. And this is the idea. So let's just say you get paid each week. And what I've got here is some Monopoly money. $100. Now, you know, I hope we all get paid a little bit more than that, but for the sake of the exercise, we've got $100 here. And so what Pape recommends, and this is, I think, really good advice, he says, get your money all into what you call your daily account. It all gets paid there. And then at the start of each pay cycle, you then allocate that money into various buckets. And Pape suggests just setting up automatic funds transfers. I don't like that. I like to have a little bit of control over where my money's going, but I just do it myself at the start of each pay cycle. So once the money's gone in there to the daily, you leave 60% in there. So that's $60. Just stays in daily there. Pape actually doesn't suggest this, but I think it's a good idea, and that's that 10%, so $10, will go into the give bucket. Now, what Pape suggests here is that these are all different bank accounts, so you actually got these different bank accounts set up. He puts 10% into what he calls the smile, 5% into what's called the splurge, and then $15 or 15% in what's called the mojo, and it's allocated. So those five different buckets, all set up in your bank account, are there, and that's how it works there. So let me go through a little bit what each of these ones mean. So the give bucket, the first one. So Pape actually hardly mentions this one at all. But Kate and I have made a commitment that we would give away 10% of all of our income. Now, we like to think of ourselves as modern and, you know, pretty trendy, cool sort of people, but we practice a very ancient tradition. That's called tithing. In 2 weeks' time, I'm going to talk more about why I think that's a good idea. And then we've got the daily bucket. The daily bucket, I should say, to say with the give. So the give increases as each pay cycle, and then at the end of each month, we pretty much empty it to the various causes and organisations that we give money to. Then we've got the daily. The daily is all that it costs you to live, including your minimum home loan repayment. So if you have a mortgage, that comes out of daily, just the minimum amount. So all your bills, your food, your clothes, living expenses, all that sort of stuff, it comes out of daily, and Pape advises, you know, 60%, that's where it should go. The smile, the 10%, that's literally the things that put a smile on your face when you think about them. So it could be anything, but for Kate and me, it's holidays and house improvements. So 10% gets allocated towards holidays and house improvements, because when we think about those things, we smile, and it's a good feeling. Splurge is your treats, you're eating out. Kate and I give each other a little bit of pocket money each month that we can spend on anything we like for ourselves. That all comes out of splurge. It's the kids' entertainment, all that sort of stuff, bits and pieces. Pape recommends 10%, but we've actually found that 5% is more than enough for us. And then Pape has what he calls his mojo. Now, that's your fire extinguisher, if you like, and so 15% of all your income is invested into various things, depending on where you're at. both in terms of the stage of life sense and also where your financial situation is at the moment. So Pape would advise, and I think it's good advice, that if you are currently paying high levels of interest rate on debt, whether it's through credit cards, hire purchases, other things that you've sort of done over time and you're paying high interest rates, then the 15% just goes bang, gets rid of that stuff as soon as you possibly can, because it needs to be gone, because that's costing you a lot of money over the long term. But if you've got in charge, if you're on top of all debt and you're not carrying any debt, but you in a space where you'd like to buy your own home, then that's where the 15% can go to saving towards a deposit to get into your own home. If you've bought your own home and you've got a mortgage, then obviously you want to pay that mortgage off as quickly as you can, because, again, if you let it go for the 30-year term that the bank gives you, it's going to cost you a lot of money, in fact, hundreds of thousands of dollars probably, in interest. Now, I know one of the biggest concerns that the banks have at the moment is what's called amortization. That is that people are paying off their home loans quicker than they need to, and it means the banks are making less money. And I say, good. So we pay down our mortgage with a 15%. Now, once we've done that, we're in a position where we can plan for the future. And again, the 15% goes towards planning for the future, the investments, the time in your life when you may not be able to generate the income that you're generating now, and you'll need to have enough to live on. So that's the basic, in a nutshell, Pape's recommendation. And my experience of the last 12 months has been that it's good advice and very wise advice and very doable. Now, you might be thinking as you look at this, how on earth do you live on 60% of your income? That doesn't quite sound right. That sounds really hard. Now, I want to say my experience being that it is possible, and we've done it on less than 1.5 incomes, and we've done it fairly comfortably, and they're pretty average standard incomes. So for some people that are earning significantly more than what we are, you shouldn't have any problems. Now, if you're earning a bit less, I think you could probably do it, but it will be hard. If you're earning significantly less, then you might need to play with the percentages a little bit. We don't want you to starve. So the daily might need to go up a little bit so that you can meet your basic needs, and then some of those other areas might go down a little bit, but still have them there so that you're still putting in place those disciplines of giving, of saving, of living a life as well, and enjoying life and embracing that which God's giving you. There are some people here today that maybe are in a position where they're earning significantly more. And so maybe you might need to play with the percentages too, where you can afford to live off a lot less than your 60%. Maybe you're in a position where you can save more for the future and where you can give more to causes and things that you're passionate about. So Kate and I, in adopting this model, we have discovered far greater freedom and far less worry when it comes to our money. I no longer need to worry about the 10th and the 24th of each month. I no longer need to worry about making car repayments. And there's a time to come, it's still some years away, but there is a time to come where I'm really looking forward to walking into the bank. And I'm going to do this, I'm physically going to do this. I'm going to walk into the bank and I'm going to have my last home loan repayment. And I'm going to hand that sucker over and say, let's have a party. I don't think the bank will share my sense of joy that I will have at that time. But that's something that I'm looking forward to being completely free from any debt whatsoever. So very practically, as we sum this up, if you're currently in a very high interest debt situation where you've got multiple debts, you might have credit card debt, you might have multiple credit cards, there might be higher purchase and things that you've bought in time on those, pay now, buy later, buy now, pay later thing, whatever it is, and you've got them and you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed, there's so much, I don't know where to start. Well, I've got some really practical points for you that I think are good suggestions that will help you to get yourself out of a hole that you found yourself in. The first thing is that whatever you do, allocate 15% of your income to you being your mojo or your fire extinguisher. Second thing is cut your credit card up. Just start living on what you have and what you earn rather than trying to pay it off tomorrow. Third thing, pay your smallest debt first, because that will give you confidence that you can actually do it. Get rid of the smallest debt first. Next thing, pay the second smallest debt next, and so on. So you start with the smallest debt first and you get rid of that, and then your second smallest debt and you get rid of that, and you just work towards that. Because what will happen, you'll get a confidence and you'll get a sense, we can actually do this, I can do this, I'm getting myself into a much better position. Fourth aspect, and it's a recommendation with some caution. So make sure you do your research here, and if this is not an area that you're particularly savvy in, then certainly get the wise counsel of others. And that is to investigate interest-free card offers. And there may be a way in which you can save yourself on interest and pay off your debt because of the various offers that banks have in order to attract new customers. But I say there's a real caution around this, because if you haven't been savvy in the past with credit cards, it may not be a great idea to access more credit in that way. You might end up in an even bigger hole. But with wise counsel, wise advice, and change in behaviour and attitude, it may be a way in which you can save yourself some money by accessing those offers. So one of the big challenges about this whole More series is to be really good stewards of that which God gives us. For us to be experiencing more of God's presence in our lives, especially in this area of implementing God's financial wisdom. So what we've looked at today is this wisdom around reducing and then eliminating debt. Now next week, as I said earlier, there's going to be a question box. If you've got any questions about what I've said today or anything I've said last week or anything I'll say in the next 2 weeks, please write your questions and we'll do your best to answer them in that last week.